All right, so this week we're going to be talking about the Anshei Knesset Gedolah. Before we get into that, there's one small point that I just wanted. I had mentioned that I was going to mention last week, and so since I mentioned that I was going to mention it, now I need to mention it. If you turn just really quickly to the second page of the source sheet, we discussed that the Rambam is, and we'll get back to this again, but that the Rambam has a lot of the structure of his history and development of the Torah Sheba'al Peh and its transmission from very careful reading of the first chapter of Pirkei Avos. And we discussed the idea that there were multiple stages, there were at least four eras of the Messiah of Torah Sheba'al Peh. You started with Yehoshua, and Yehoshua had a Beis Din Gadol, and they were therefore they were in control of Torah Sheba'al Peh, they were a source of Torah Sheba'al Peh. And then you had the era of the Zakenim. Yeshua gave it to the Zakenim. The Zakenim was a time when there was no Sanhedrin Gadol, and therefore there was no authority over the Torah Sheba'al Peh. There was merely custody over the Torah Sheba'al Peh and the Ma'atikim, the Gedolei Ma'atikei Shmua, those who were the greatest in the Masorah of the Torah Sheba'al Peh of that time. I had a goof in my what happened with my source sheet, so I'm going to have you share with me because I only showed up with three copies.
What do you mean they had custody?
They oversaw the transmission of the Torah Sheba'al Peh. They did not have the ability or the authority to be mechadish new dinim, to create new Xeros and Rushos and things like that, and that would be added to Torah Sheba'al Peh in the same way that the Beis Din HaGadol had that ability and authority, but they still were the authority to give over to the next generation what the Torah Sheba'al Peh was. Then we had after the Zakenim came the Nevi'im, and the Nevi'im was an era of a Beis Din HaGadol. All of the Nesi'im in the time of the Nevi'im were heads of a Sanhedrin, of a Beis Din HaGadol, which all of Klal Yisrael had submitted to. And then that went until the period that we're going to talk about this morning of Ezra, at which point we have the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, where there is also still a Beis Din HaGadol, but there was a drop in the Madrega, in the level of the Nasi of the Sanhedrin, where the Nasi was no longer solely in control of the Sanhedrin to the point where they were basically working under his direction, but there, even though he was the leader, but he was more just like he was within the group, he was the top, he was no longer, so to speak, leading from above them. That was what we discussed, these different levels. So I just wanted, and we pointed out where you see this, in the Rambam, and how the Rambam got it, but just to point out, there's a question that a number of Mefarshim ask and answer in the first mission of Pirkei Avos, which is that the first mission of Pirkei Avos is Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai U'Misarau Yoshua. The Yoshua LaZakenu, the Zakenu LaNevi'im, the Nevi'im Misaruha LaAnshei Knesset Gedolah. So the Mishnah mentions Misira, mentions a giving over of the Torah Sheba'al Peh twice. So it's kind of an interesting linguistic choice, because if you're not saying it by every stage, if the choice of the Tana is that it would be repetitive to keep saying Misira at every step of transmission, and you're just distributing it, just saying it once, and then it's meant to be understood to go on everything, so just say it once. Why do you say it a second time? And if you're saying it by every stage, so why did you skip Yehoshua Zakenim, Zakenu and Nevi'im? Why is the Mesira only mentioned between between Moshe and Yehoshua, and between the Nevi'im and the Anshei Knesset Gedolah? So a number of Mefarshim discuss this, the Maharal and others, and they have their own approaches, but according to the Rambam, the understanding of this Mishnah, the understanding of this choice of words, could be understood in a very exact kind of way, that the term Mesira, the term that you're handing over something, is only relevant when both the person who has it and the person who's giving it and the person who's receiving it has control over that thing. Only if both parties, both the one who started with it and the one who's ending up with it, are bialim, are masters over that thing, have control and jurisdiction over it, is there a mesira that I am giving it from my control to your control. But if one of the two parties does not have control of it, so there's not really a mesira here. It's being transmitted, but it's not being delivered in a way that, you know, it was mine and now it's yours. So when it went from Moshe to Yehoshua, so Moshe had Bilus, had control over, Moshe was the ultimate, you know, Beis Din HaGadol was Moshe Rabbeinu himself with his Shivim Zehanim. That's the model of all future Sanhedrins. They certainly had a din of a Sanhedrin of a Beis Din HaGadol. And Yehoshua had the din of a Beis Din HaGadol. Yehoshua and his Beis Din were a Beis Din HaGadol. And therefore there's a Mesira of the Torah from Moshe to Yehoshua, from one party that had control over the Torah Shabbat had to another party that had control. When it went from Yehoshua to the Zekanim, it's true that Yehoshua had control of the Torah Shabbat, that Yehoshua had that authority and jurisdiction, but the Zekanim did not. The Zekanim did not have a Beis Din HaGadol, even though they were Talmidei Chachamim of the stature that they could say, Kaf Kibati, that I know this is the halacha about the entire Torah Shabbat, but at the end of the day, they did not have one unified Beis Din HaGadol over all of Klal Yisrael. They did not have the din of a Beis Din HaGadol, and therefore they did not have the authority over the Torah. They had the reliability to transmit the Torah, but they did not have the authority over the Torah, and therefore it's not a Mesira to the Zekanim, because by the time it gets to the Zekanim, there's not control of it. So you're not giving it from one party that has control to another party that has control. And the same thing from the Zekanim to the Nevi'im. It's true that the Nevi'im were an era of Beis Din HaGadol and had control, so the receiving party, when Torah Shabbat Pat was handed over to Eli, and Eli is in control of the Torah, it has control over the Torah Shabbat Pat because he has a Beis Din HaGadol, but the Zekanim, Pinchas, who was giving it over to Eli, he did not have a Beis Din HaGadol, and he was therefore not in control, and therefore it's not a Mesira from one party in control to another party in control. It's not appropriate to describe it as a Mesira of the Torah Shabbat Pat from the Zekanim to the Nevi'im. And then when it's the Nevi'im to the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, back again to it is a Mesira. The Nevi'im had Bilus, had control over the Torah Shabbat Pat. They had the authority to be Mechadish and to add to the lexicon of Torah Shabbat Pat. And the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, even though they might have been degradation, a lessening in the level and the madriga of the Nasi and in the stature of the Beis Din HaGadol, but they still had the din of a Beis Din HaGadol and were still able to be Mechadish Dinim and make Zeres and Tekanos that became part of Torah Shabbat Pat, and therefore it was a Mesira from one party with control to another party in control. So the reading of the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos just becomes very very fluid according to this approach in the Rambam of why exactly the Mishnah phrases it that way. Alright, just wanted to throw that in there as completion of what we discussed last week. So this week we're going to discuss the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah in and of themselves. Last week we discussed this idea that by the time you get to the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, we see a shift. Whereas before the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, the identity of the recipient of the Kabbalah was just the Nasi, right? That we pointed out that it says that Eli received from Pinchas, and Shmuel received from Eli and his Beis Din. David received from Shmuel and his Beis Din. Achia Hashiloni received from David and his Beis Din. In each generation, the Nasi of the next generation is the one who is in charge of receiving the Torah from the previous generation. As opposed to, as soon as we get to the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, Ezra and his Beis Din received from Baruch Ben Neriah and his Beis Din. So we discussed last week this shift, that now all of a sudden the Beis Din is also part of the identity of the reception of Torah Shabbat Peh, because they became a part of the process of the shaping of Shabbal Peh, as opposed to previously, when the Nasi was of such a high stature that he was solely in absolute control. He had such a total mastery of Shabbal Peh and everything involved with it, that the Beis Din was, for all intents and purposes, just his, I don't want to call them underlings, but I don't have a better word, right? So then it was just the Nasi who his Kabbalah mattered. But after a point reached the point where the Nasi was no longer so far above the rest, he was still the highest ranking, but he was not so far above everyone else, so now their Kabbalah of Torah Shabbal Peh also made an impact on the nature of the Torah Shabbal Peh of that Beis Din. So that just catches us up to where we are now. So if you look at where we have the brackets, so we have, just to not skip, we'll just read a couple lines before the last thing we had really read. We had maybe start from the top line on the page. Elisha received from Eliyahu in his Beis Din. Yehoyada Cohen received from Elisha in his Beis Din. Zechariah received from Yehoyada in his Beis Din. Hoshea received from Zechariah in his Beis Din. Amos received from Hoshea in his Beis Din. Yeshaya received from them. Micha received from them. Yoel received from them. Nahum received from them. Habakkuk received from them. Zephaniah received from them. And Yirmiah received from them. Most of those are all Nevi'im who we are well familiar with from, you know, plenty of psukim that talk about them and things they did. Baruch ben Neriah received from Yirmiah and his Beis Din. And then Ezra u'Beis Dino kibu mi Baruch u'Beis Dino. So here we have Ezra and his Beis Din. So just a couple of related but not necessarily contiguous points here in this section about the Anshei Knesset Gedolah. So let's just read it first, and then we'll go back through it and with some analysis here. So Beis Dino shel Ezra, Heim HaNekraim Anshei Knesset Gedolah. The Beis Din of Ezra is the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, the men of the Great Assembly. They were so named, says the Gemara in Brachos, because that in the time of of Yirmiah and Daniel, so Moshe said Hakel Agal Hagivar Vanora, that in the time of the Korban, that the term Gibor was taken. Nora was taken away. In the time of that, that's because he said, how could we call him Nora if the Goyim are overrunning his base of Migdash? And then at the time of Daniel, then Gibor was taken away, because how could we call Gibor if his people are being subjugated? And the Anshei Knesset Gedolah came and they set up Shmoneh Esrei, and in Shmoneh Esrei they reinstated Hashem's godless, and they called him Hakel Agadol Gibor Vanora. They reinstated that, and that's why they were called the Anshei Knesset Gedolah. The Haim, so now the Rambam lists for us, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Nehemiah, Ben Chachilai, Mordechai, Zerubbabel, Harbei Chachamim Imahim, many Chachamim with them, Tashlom, Mei of Esrim Zekanim, a total of 120 Zekanim. Ha'acharon Mehem, who is Shimon HaTzadik. The last of them was Shimon HaTzadik, or the latest of them. V'ruhayam Michlal HaMe'a V'Esrim. He was from among those 120. That total of 120 included them. V'kibel Torah Shabbat Peh Mikulon. And he received the Torah from the entire Anshei Knesset Gedolah. V'ruhayam Kohen Gadol Achar Ezra. He was the Kohen Gadol after Ezra. Now, that line of the Rambam is a very loaded line of the Rambam, which we're not going to get into. It is, in working out the chain of Kahuna Gedolah, this is actually very complicated, exactly who Shimon HaTzadik was in order for him to be the next Kohen Gadol. It's very difficult because we know that Yeshua and Yeshua's son were both Kohanim Gedolim, and so to fit in between Ezra and them, another Kohen Gadol, unless Shimon HaTzadik, it's a very complicated discussion, which is going to be very technical and very quickly get very tedious, so we won't, we'll leave that aside, but just to note that that's this that the Rambam says that Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol after Ezra is a complicated claim.
Is this the same Shimon HaTzadik who encountered
Alexander? Yes.
Okay.
Antignos ish soko ubezino kiblo mi Shimon HaTzadik ubezino. Antignos ish soko and his Beis Din received from Shimon HaTzadik and his Beis Din. And then we'll just read the one last line there. Can we talk about Yosef ben Yoezer ish trade of Yosef ben Yochanan Yushalayim ubeis dinam kibu me Antignos ubeis dinam. Then the Rambam lists two people, Yosef ben Yoezer and Yosef ben Yochanan, or the Mishnah calls them Yosef ben Yoezer and Yosef ben Yochanan, who the two of them and their Beis Din received the Masorah from Antignos Yisoko.
So we'll sound familiar from, I think, from Kinos.
From Kinos?
I think so. I could be wrong. These names. Something.
No, it's from the Mishnah. Right here. Have you ever read the first Mishnah? The Mishnais of Avos.
Well, so
that's Rippy Avos.
Right, so
all
those
people are mentioned.
Right, so that's the very next thing we're going to see, just before we discuss anything else, is that if you, as we noted, the Rambam really is basing this off of the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, and just the names, we'll see very quickly, right? So Mishnah Aleph goes from Moshe to Yeshua to the Zakenim to the Nevi'im to the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah. Right, that's where we just got up to Ezra and the Beis Din of Ezra was Anshei Knesset Gedolah. Shimon HaTzadik Hayam Mishayarei Knesset Gedolah. Shimon HaTzadik was of the remnant of the Anshei Knesset Gedolah. We'll see in a minute, very specifically emphasizing their Mishayarei Knesset Gedolah. He was of the remnant of the Shayarei Knesset Gedolah. And then it says Hu Haya Omer. And then Antignosh Isoko Kibel Mishimon HaTzadik. And then the very next one is Yosi ben Yoezer ish trade of a Yosi ben Yochanan ish Yerushalayim kibul lehem, and they're both listed. Both Yosi ben Yoezer. Suddenly we have two people who are the Mekablim, and that's the era which we will see next, called the Zugos, where you had a pair which was identified in the Mishnah in Chagiga as being now the Nasi and the Av Beis Din are both part of the Kabbalah. All right, now so. Shammai and Hillel, right? So we'll see a long list of where it was these pairs of people. So going back to the beginning. So question number one, the way the Rambam says it, the way we'll say it is like this. Was Ezra part of the period of Nevi'im or part of the period of Anshei Knesset HaGadolah? So the way the Rambam phrases it is very interesting. The Rambam says, Baruch Baniri Kibel Mirmi Ubezino, the Ezra U Bezdino, Kibumi Baruch Ubezdino. Ezra and his Bezdin were Makabel from Baruch and his Bezdin. Bezdino shall Ezra Hemni Karamashi Knesset Gedolah. The Bezdin, so you have Ezra and his Bezdin. His Bezdin was called Anshei Knesset Gedolah. And the way the Rambam says it, it sounds like Ezra is not part of the Anshei Knesset Gedolah. He might have been the Nasi over the Anshei Knesset Gedolah. His Beis Din was called the Anshei Knesset Gedolah. But in the way the Rambam says it, it sounds like there was Ezra and his Beis Din. His Beis Din is the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, which sounds like, I don't know if there's somewhere, I don't know if there exists a list of the whole 120 members of the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, but you'd be easier to verify if Ezra is on the list or not, but the way that the Rambam says it, it sounds like Ezra is not one of those 120. That there's Ezra, and then there's his Beis Din, and his Beis Din is the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, which would make it sound like Ezra is really part of the period of Nevi'im. The truth is that there is a large machlokus in the Gemara whether or not Ezra was a Navi. Some of the opinions in the Gemara, the Rambam here is clearly not going with. For example, one opinion in the Gemara is that Ezra and Malachi are the same person. The Rambam is clearly not going like that because the Rambam here says Ezra u Beis Dino, and who is his Beis Din? Is Chagai Zechariah u Malachi. So you have Ezra and his Beis Din, and part of his Beis Din is Malachi. So the Rambam seemingly here is not going with Ezra being Malachi. That would have been the simplest way to make Ezra a Navi, is if he was Malachi. But so the Rambam here somewhat implies that Ezra may have been part, you know, somewhat of a midpoint between the Nevi'im and the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. And we note that the way that we set it up, the factor, the quality which differentiates between the Anshei Knesset, between the stage of Nevi'im and the stage of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, was really the Madrega of the Nasi. And the Nasi of the era of Nevi'im. So they were so above everyone else that their Beis Din was not a significant aspect of the Kabbalah, of the receiving of the nature of the Kabbalah of his Beis Din did not really affect the form of Torah Shebaal Peh during his reign, as opposed to in the time of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah did. And therefore the Rambam in the stage of Nevi'im just lists the Nasi, and starting from the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah and on, it's the Nasi and his Beis Din. Ezra is listed with his Beis Din as part of the Kabbalah. And that way Ezra seems to be part of the next stage, as it's Ezra u Beis Dino Kiblu Mebar Beniria, that it seems like Ezra was not so on such a madrega that the Kabbalah of his Beis Din was, for all practical intents and purposes, irrelevant. It seems that he needed the Kabbalah. The Kabbalah of his Beis Din did impact the form and the format of Torah Shebaal Peh in his Beis Din. On the other hand, it sounds like Ezra is part of the is perhaps a Navi, is perhaps part of the era before the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. And it is possible that Ezra was a Navi, but as we mentioned before, it wasn't by definition, as we spent a long time on last week, it was not, 2 weeks ago, it was not by definition that a Navi was automatically a, because he got Nevuah, because of whatever it was, that therefore he had greater authority in Torah Shebaal Peh. It was the fact that he was a Navi enabled him to reach a higher Madrega, to reach a higher level, and that allowed for him to be above everyone else. But that was not by definition. Didn't mean that that was automatic, and therefore it's possible for Ezra to be somewhat of a segue. Ezra is still a Navi. He still has the possibly, it's a dispute, but possibly could be that Ezra was a Navi. But even though he was a Navi, he was not on such a madrega of Nevuah, of Ruach HaKodesh, of that level of personal perfection that boosted the Navi up to a higher level, that enabled him to be so far above the rest of his Beis Din to be mistorer, to have control over his Beis Din. And possible that you have in a number of stages of transition of the Torah Shebaal Peh, these segue middlemen. You have that at the end of the era of Tanayim. You have Rebbe, and then you have Rav. Rav is an Amora. There are those who argue on Amoraim argue with Rav, but at the same time, Rav is Tanahu Pali. Rav was also part of the Beis Din of possibly a Rebbe Yehuda Anasi, and Rav argues on Mishnayos sometimes. On occasion, Rav will say Tanahu Pali. Rav will argue with the Mishnah. He's in the middle there. You have at the end of the Gemara, you have a similar thing. Not to get into that as much, but you find that at the end of the stage of the Gemara. Interestingly, in a certain way, certainly according to one sheet in the Gemara, you even have that in the transition from Torah to Nevi'im. Because according to one sheet in the Gemara, Yehoshua wrote the last 8 psukim in the Torah. You have that similar transition, that Yehoshua is a Navi, and he wrote Sifrei Nevuah, but he also has 8 psukim in the Torah. So it's possible that Ezra is also, that there's this transition stage, the segue who's partly of the previous generation, but partly of the next generation, and that could be possibly where Ezra fits in here, as he's, his Beis Din is Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. He's part of the period of Nevi'im, but he's not on the level of the Nevi'im, who were so totally above everyone else that their Kabbalah was absolute, and that was the only value, the only Kabbalah that mattered. But he still was a remnant of that previous stage of the Kabbalah. Okay, point number one. Moving on. So the Rambam here tells us that it's Tashlum 120 Zakenim, a total of 120. Now, if you go to page 3 of the source sheet, the Rambam says Min Hilchos Sanhedrin, Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel, the Rambam says how many Bateidinim were there and how many people were in them. He says that first they would set up the Beis Din HaGadol, V'hu HaNikra Sanhedre HaGadola, V'hu Minyanum Echad B'Shidim. How many people are on the Sanhedrin HaGadol? 71. Right? No more, no less. So there are 71 people on the in the Beis Din HaGadol. So what exactly was the purpose of these 120? Why were there 120 people? So seemingly, just before we get into any purpose behind it, but seemingly just the logistical structure of it must have been, it's not going to go against the halacha that the Sanhedrin consists of 71, modeled off of Moshe and his Zakenim. So, assumedly, the way it worked was there were 120 members of the Anshei Knesset Gedola, and when they made Gzeiras and Tekanas and they had a Masu Mata Bedin, in all of these things, that there was 120 people involved. When they needed to be a Beis Din, when someone came to them with a din, so then they chose 70 of them plus Ezra, right? 71, Ezra and 70 others, and they formed a Beis Din of 71 from amongst those 120. That seemingly would be the way that it was structurally set up, because at the end of the day, Sanhedrin is only 71, so they had 120 people for the pool of the Beis Din HaGadol, and the Beis Din HaGadol in its internal structure, the Masu Matan about Zeres and Tekanas and Torah Yotza Lefaisal, when they came out with decisions about zeros and things like that, they came out. So there were all 120 of them involved in that. When they did actual Beis Din functions of an actual, you know, being the place where if a Shiloh came all the way up the appellate structure of the courts all the way to the top, so they chose 71 of them to be on the court. What was the point of this? So, before we discuss what the point was, just note a similar structure. If you go to the last page of the source sheet, so we have a similar thing happen in the Beis Din of Rebbe. You look at the underlined section on the last page here. It says the Eluhim Gedolei Hachachamim Shahayu BeBeis Dino Shel Rabbeinu Hakadosh. These are the greatest of the Chachamim who are in Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Rabbeinu Hakadosh is Beis Din. The Kiblu Mimenu. They are a cattle from him. Shimon the Gamliel, Gamliel Banav, Riyad is Rabbi Hananya ben Chama, Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Viran, Rabbi Yanai, Uben Kapara, Bar Kapara, Ushmur, Yochanan, Rabbi Hoshea. The Elohim HaGedolim Shekiblu Menu, those are the greatest of them. The Imahim Alafim Urevavos Mishar HaChachamim. And with them, there were thousands and tens of thousands of others who were part of Rabbi's Beis Din. Right, the greatest of them he lists here, but there were thousands of others who were included in the Kabbalah from Rabbi Yehuda Anasi and who were part of his Beis Din. So again, we have the similar thing that at the end of the day, Beis Din HaGadol can only be 71. But for some reason, you have this, you know, massive number of people, much larger than the Beis Din of 71, who are
the Hakdama.
That was actually just the next page in the Hakdama, skipping, you know, a little bit ahead there, just to see the little snippet. But yeah, that's still in the Rambam's Hakdama to Mishnah Torah. So what exactly was the point of this? So the similarity between those two Batei Din were that they both followed a rupture in the chain of Beis Din HaGadol, which was that in the time of Baruch Ben Neriah was the Talmud of Yirmiah. Yirmiah was the Navi of Churban and Golus. Yirmiah was the Navi who oversaw the Churban of Bayis Rishon and the Golus of Klal Yisrael between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. That Baruch Ben Neriah was the Talmud of Yirmiah, who was the leader of Klal Yisrael during that period when they went from the period of the Beis Hamikdash to the period of Golus. Baruch Ben Neriah was the last of the Beis Din before they went into Golus, and you couldn't have a Beis Din. Beis Din has to be Yoshev Belishkas Agazus. The Beis Din HaGadol, the Sanhedrin HaGadol, requires Yoshev Belishka Agazus, requires it in Yerushalayim. And certain that's not, shouldn't take that statement so absolutely, because the Gemara itself paths that the Bezdin were kind of exiled themselves at a certain point, but certainly the full authority of a Bezdin Agadol to be able to be Dan Dine Nefashos and certain absolute procedural powers of the Beis Din HaGadol is only the Beis Din HaGadol in Yerushalayim, Yoshev Velishkas HaGazis, in the Beis HaMikdash. There was a break in the Beis Din HaGadol between Baruch Ben Neriah and Ezra. Ezra was Makabel from Baruch Ben Neriah, but Ezra brought Klal Yisrael back from Galus, and they were re-establishing the Beis Din HaGadol. And in re-establishing the Beis Din HaGadol after a rupture like that, it was necessary in order to make sure that it was miskavel, that it was accepted by the entire Klal Yisrael, that it became recognized and acknowledged and did not cause all the problems that, you know, happened in the past decades and centuries when they tried to do similar things, that all of the Chachamim, all of the greatest of the Chachamim, were on this basin, which means that you did not pick the top 71. You chose all of the Chachamim who are of the stature that they could have been qualified for the basin of Gadol, and they were all part of that body, and therefore all of Klal Yisrael was represented in their Chachamim. All of the Chachamim were involved in this Beis, and that was necessary because of the rupture of the transmission of Torah Shebaal Peh that had happened in the, right before then. Similarly, in the time of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, which is very related to why Rabbi Yehuda Anasi is the one who wrote down the Mishnah, was during a period of a rupture of the Masorah of the Beis Din. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, as we will see when we get to that section, that era of the Masorah, we'll get there eventually, that was re-establishing a Beis Din HaGadol. There was Beis Din HaGadol stopped in the generations before Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, and he was re-establishing it in order to establish a Beis Din HaGadol, which is going to be accepted, has to be that all of the Chachamim are involved, and therefore a great conglomeration of Chachamim were included in Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's Beis Din, not because that's what's necessary for the function of Beis Din itself, but in order to create a Beis Din which is going to be accepted and is going to be able to function when it's being reestablished after a problem, after a break. So it was necessary to have something which was more authoritative, which would be more show of authority than the regular structure of just 71 who are needed for the basic functioning of Beis Din. If you note, there are only two places where the Rambam tells you who the top Talmidim in the Beis Din were, which is here and by Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Here the Rambam lists for us 11 people of the Anshei Knesset Gedola. He tells us about Chaya Zechariah Malachi, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Nechemiah, Benechiah, Mordechai, Mizrahu, Bavel. And by Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, he tells us about, we just read, Shimon and Rabban Gamliel ben Shimon and Riephas and Rechananya ben Chama and Rabbi Chia and Rab and Riyana and Bar Kapara and Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Hoshaya. The Rambam also lists that says those were the greatest of the Talmidim and there were many others with him. Why here and there does the Rambam bother to identify the top tier of the Talmidim? Seemingly for the same reason, because these are the only two Batei Dinim where the stature of the godless of the Chavrei HaBeis Din, the stature of the members of the Beis Din, was a necessary component of the authority of the Beis Din. It was necessary to know that Beis Din was a very prominent Beis Din, composed of very prominent Chachamim, because the Beis Din, the whole structure of that Beis Din was to be prominent, was to show the it was, you know, a power show. It was showing the authority and the level of that Beis Din, that they had that level of authority to be accepted by Klal Yisrael in reestablishing a Beis Din HaGadol. It was not necessary by a regular Beis Din, by the regular rules of Beis Din or the Mesira of Torah Shebaal Peh, but in this unique stages where they were reestablishing a base in a gubble, it was necessary to have these unique Bate Dinim, which encompassed more of the, which encompassed a greater portion of the Chachamim of Chalishah. This is related to something we discussed previously, that the Rambam, when he discusses, eventually when we reestablish Sanhedrin, so how is Sanhedrin going to be reestablished? This is not the same idea, but it's related, that the Rambam says, you need Beis Din have to be smuchim. They have to have smicha. And we don't have the chain of smicha anymore. There's no one who can give smicha. So there are Midrashim and Rishonim who say that Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come back before Mashiach. And Eliyahu HaNavi, we saw it was a Nasi of the Beis Din, and he has smicha, and therefore he will be able to give smicha. But the Rambam does not seemingly go with that in both in the Yad and in Pirsha Mishnah. And the Rambam says this suggestion that in order to reinstitute the Sanhedrin, all of the Chachamim will get together, and the authority of all of the Chachamim of Klal Yisrael together has the ability, even though none of them have smicha, but when they all get together, they can give smicha to one person. And now once that one person has smicha, he can give smicha to whoever he wants. It was attempted in the era of Rabbi Yosef Karo and the Mari Abuav, but they attempted to smicha to the Mari Abuav. It was attempted a few years ago, and both times it failed because they did not have all of the Chachamim, which very much speaks to this point that unless you get everyone on board, you can't start a Sanhedrin which has detractors. If there are those who are saying, I don't accept this Beis Din, so then it doesn't serve the purpose of a Beis Din HaGadol. The whole point of Beis Din HaGadol is a representative of all of Klal Yisrael. Unless you have everyone, you don't have a Beis Din HaGadol. It's not that this is, you know, a pretty good Beis Din HaGadol we got most. This is an all or nothing thing. A Beis Din HaGadol, the whole point of a Beis Din HaGadol is to be a representative of all of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, when they reinstituted Beis Din HaGadol on the day of in Ezra's generation, when they came back up from Galus, so they needed everyone, all of the Chachamim had to be involved, because if this is only most of the Chachamim, then you're not a Beis Din HaGadol.
Just curious how that would operate in today's world where Jews are spread over a larger spectrum.
You mean geographically, or you mean philosophically?
Philosophically.
Yeah, so that's why many say that today you're going to have to go with the Mashiach
route.
Are you saying that's why people like Kanievsky and Shach and all those, when they were alive, they never attempted it either?
Right.
I mean, they could have. They had very big Chachamim in recent years, all alive at the same time. Rav Eliashiv, they never.
Yeah. So,
I mean, with their power, I think they could have gotten something accomplished, right?
Yeah, I don't know if it's entirely because of this. Some of it might just have been broader ideas about, you know, what, you know, is it really their job to, you know, there's certain schools of thought today that, you know, we are the era of the Geula, and it's our job, the same kind of school of thought of, you know, the very aggressive form of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael and having a government in Eretz Yisrael and our own autonomy, and part of that is also that we need to bring back the autonomous functioning of a Torah state, and we need to reinstitute a Sanhedrin and all of that. And I'm not going to side either way. I'm just going to, there is another school of thought which says that, you know, the reinstitution of Malchus Beis Yisrael will be done by, you know, a melech with Mashicha from Shemin and Mishcha, and that's going to require smuchim, and that's going to require all these. This is a process which is, you know, our job is we bring geula by doing Ratzon Hashem, not by taking over Eretz Yisrael. And, you know, could be that it wasn't necessarily because they felt like they couldn't do it, but just they felt it wasn't their position to do it. I don't know. I can't really speak for them. And at the end of the day, I don't know if there is any one gadol who would have gotten everyone on board that he should be the appointee.
Does it just require the structure of the melech and whatever, or does it require simonim? Does it? was the issue of the contract that was made, the deal that we will, you know, try for to reestablish you know, the kingdom until
we agree not to exist.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
So, what was the question?
So how does all that fit in with necessary preconditions? I mean, do you need signs of Mashiach before you can do this?
Right, so that's kind of, you know, a separate discussion. There are those, you know, very, yes. There are, you know, been entire books written on both sides of the issue. You know, the probably, if you wanted to start reading about it, the two to start with are Vayol Moshe, the Satmarah, and Ema Banam Smecha by Shlomo Teichtal of the both presenting you know, one side of the issue, where basically the Satmarav held very strongly that, you know, Geula is something that's going to come from Hashem. We took Shlosha Shavuos, he says that you won't come back until I bring you back, and so that's, you know, going to be a supernatural process, as opposed to others who said, no, bring us back, you know, could very well be through political processes. We did not take Eretz Yisrael by force, we were given Eretz Yisrael, and that's certainly a discussion beyond the scope of this of this format, but at the end of the day, I don't know, the lack of attempt to reinstitute Sanhedrin, I don't know if it was necessarily because of this point or because just generally a more passive approach to how these things are meant to function. I wanted to mention one more thing, because I do want to, we might not get onto the last point, but I do want to finish the discussion at least of the Anshei Knesset Gedolah themselves. The last point it said we have is that it says Ha'achron mehem hu Shimon HaTzadik. The last of them was Shimon HaTzadik. He was from among the 120. He received the Torah Shabbat from all of them. And then he was the next Nasi, right? That was the mission of Pirkei Avos, that Shimon HaTzadik kibbu mehem. So, just to note, the Rambam uses this lashon of he was the Achron of them, does not mean that he was the last survivor of them, but rather just means he was the youngest of them. Does not necessarily mean that he was the, they all died and then he became the Nasi, because the Rambam seems to say that he was the Nasi over the Anshei Knesset Gedolah. The Rambam himself is more clear about this elsewhere, but that Shimon HaTzadik, he might have been the youngest and therefore needed to be Mekabel B'Torah from the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, even though he was part of Ezra's Beis Din who were Kabel from Baruch Ben Neria. But Shimon HaTzadik was perhaps very young at the time and therefore still needed to be Mekabel B'Torah anew from Ezra Ubeis Din of the Anshei Knesset Gedolah. But when Shimon HaTzadik took over as the Nasi, there were still majority of his Beis Din were Anshei Knesset Gedolah. Was not maybe not all of them, but was, you know, a good chunk of his Beis Din was Anshei Knesset Gedolah. And this is why, seemingly, the Rambam, if you look at the next thing, he says, Antignosh ish socho Beis Dino kiblo mishimon atzadik Beis Dino. Shimon HaTzadik had a Beis Din. Yeah, and Antignos Ish Socho received from Shimon HaTzadik and his Beis Din. The Rambam never mentions where Shimon HaTzadik's Beis Din was Mekabel from. Shimon HaTzadik, he says, was Mekabel from Anshei Knesset Gedolah. Then it says that Antignos Ish Socho was Mekabel from Shimon and his Beis Din. Where is Shimon HaTzadik's Beis Din Mekabel? Why are they left out? They're not left out. Shimon HaTzadik's Beis Din was also Anshei Knesset Gedolah. Shimon HaTzadik was the remnant of Anshei Knesset Gedolah, but he was the leader of the remnant of Anshei Knesset Gedolah, and his Beis Din continued the avoda, the role of Anshei Knesset Gedolah until the end of his term. And this is seemingly how the Rambam learned the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which says, does not say Shimon HaTzadik was the leftover. He says Shimon HaTzadik haya mi shayare Knesset Gedolah. He was of the remnants of Anshei Knesset Gedolah. He was of the surviving elements of Anshei Knesset Gedolah. It does not say he was the last survivor, but he was of the remnants of it, which means there was more than just him, and he was the greatest of those the remnants of Anshei Knesset Gedolah after Ezra passed away. After Ezra died, and now the role of Nasi is being passed on to the next, Shimon HaTzadik was the greatest of the Shiare Anshei Knesset Gedolah. And therefore, he was Mekabel from the Anshei Knesset Gedola, but then he was also became in charge of the Anshei Knesset Gedola. And therefore, his Beis Din did not have a separate Kabbalah of Torah Sheba'al Peh. And but his Beis Din transmitted the Torah Sheba'al Peh to Antignosh Ish Soko, who received from the Anshei Knesset Gedola. That was the next stage of the Torah Sheba'al Peh after Anshei Knesset Gedola was only Antignosh Ish Soko. But Shimon HaTzadik himself was both a member of the Anshei Knesset Gedola and was also the next leader of the Anshei Knesset Gedola, and his Beis Din was not a new Beis Din, but those who were his colleagues were now his Beis Din under his Nisias. Alright, we have one more point we wanted to get to, but we're over time now, so we will pick up with that as our, I guess, the first thing we discuss next week.
Cool.
Alright.
So this whole thing...